The Lord's got something in here that'll help us tonight. You know, the Lord's Word is full of truth and full of goodness and full of guidance, full of peace. And not many places you can get that. I don't know of another place you can get that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the night you've given us, Lord. Thanks for each one here. Lord, thanks for the gift of your Word, dear Lord God, where we can get guidance, Lord, where we can find a word from you, dear Lord God, to get a little bit further down the road. Lord, I pray that you'd focus our hearts, Lord, and focus our minds tonight on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Daniel chapter 6. This is the story. Now, you probably know this story. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Very familiar story. I've been letting Riley, my daughter, 12-year-old, teach a little bit, but I've been sitting in with her to oversee her, you know, while she's doing it with some of the little bitty kids. She's got such a desire to teach, and she just does such a really good job. And, of course, I pick up where she needs it. But she taught this the other night to the 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds, and they made a lion out of a paper bag, and she orchestrated that whole deal. And, you know, it's important that we pass along, just like Brother Tim is doing, the singing and the teaching and the preaching to the next generation, and we guide and we coach and we correct afterward. You know, it's okay. We're going to make a mistake here and there, and we can talk about how to adjust ourselves, because just like a flower growing in a flower garden, it has to be pruned, it has to be adjusted, it has to be watered. But it really makes me proud that she's got that desire in her heart. And she has let us know what she's going to be when she grows up. She's decided she's going to be a psychiatrist. And I think she's going to be a good one. I think it's actually probably planted pretty deep in her heart. So she just can't let it go. I think it's maybe the purpose that God's working out for her. And I'm real happy about that, because I got a feeling in her teenage years she's going to make us crazy. So in her adult years, she can cure us. Thank you, brother. And those teenage years are about to start. Miss Ginger's giving me a nod of affirmation there. For those of you that know about that. So in verse 1 of chapter 6 in Daniel, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, he set 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was what? Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So this king had himself at the top. He had 3 people under him, and Daniel was over them. And then under him, he had 120 princes and the rest of the kingdom. So this king had himself only 1 layer or 2 layers from his people. That's a very flat organization. It gives him the ability to reach out and touch his people. A leader that wants to be close to the people is a leader that wants to connect with people and understand what their feelings are. And it said here that Daniel was set there, and the structure was set up so that there would be no damage to the king. And that damage they're talking about is financial loss. There would be no financial loss to the king. And most of us don't understand this in our workplaces. Do you know that we owe a profit to our employer? If they're paying you $5 an hour to be there, or $50 an hour to be there, you better be making them $10 an hour while you're there, or making them $100 an hour while you're there. We owe our employers no loss. We owe them something back. We owe them more. We ought to pay for ourselves tenfold by being there. Now, Brother Andy, why are you bringing up stuff like that at work? What's that got to do with church? Because you represent your God everywhere you go. You're speaking about your God everywhere you go. And if you're the one that's slacking there, you're showing people that God, and you're talking up being a Christian, then you're a reflection on God and you're a reflection on this church. We can all do more. We should all step up. There was a platoon sergeant that was running a drill 1 week. He spent a whole week running this drill. He had these dummy grenades. You pull the pin, you drop them, and they go the regular amount of time, then they give you a puff of smoke. Just a harmless little dummy grenade. And he did this for a week, and he brought everybody together in a huddle. He'd say, okay, he'd pull the pin, he'd drop the grenade, and they'd scatter. They'd run, and when the puff of smoke poofed, they were to stop. He'd measure their distance. They did it every day for a week, and their distances got just a little bit greater, just a little bit greater. At the end of the week, he said, okay, we're ready. We're ready for the live test. And everybody's like, what, the live test? Yeah, this is a live grenade right here. And he pulled the pin and he dropped it, and they took off running. They doubled their distances they had all week. Because when your heart's really in it, you can do a whole lot more. Think about that. So in verse 3, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. See, Daniel, back in chapter 2, verse 46, just go back just a little bit, a couple pages. It says there that then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. Daniel had just interpreted an important dream for him. And commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of truth it is that your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal the secrets. In verse 48 he says, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and over the chief governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was sitting here in a position where he's second from the king, and these great gifts that the king gave him, he gave him great wealth. He gave him great wealth and power. So Daniel was sitting in a spot of great privilege, great prosperity, great promise under this king. And Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. Now this excellent spirit shows up a lot of times in the Bible. Three of my favorite Bible characters, and probably more than that, but you got Daniel, you got Stephen, you got Joseph. These men are all cut from the same cloth. They all had this excellent spirit, and they all had this favor with God. This excellent spirit comes from having the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also a type of oil. It's tied to oil and lamps. Oil is a likeness to the Holy Spirit. And I was cutting with a chainsaw yesterday for about 4 hours, and the Holy Spirit was talking to me while I was cutting, because I got to a spot where I was cutting and the chainsaw sounded great. Just normal, like, hey, you know, just working real hard. But the chain wasn't cutting. I was making no progress. I was making all the noise. I was making all the motion. But I was making no progress. And I noticed my chain was starting to smoke a little bit. It was starting to get hot. And the chips were getting smaller and smaller. And I was having to work harder. I was putting pressure on it. And I was getting tired. And I was getting fatigued. And it turned out I didn't have any oil to lube the chain. I was lacking one ingredient in the chainsaw. I was lacking one ingredient in the process. I was lacking oil. If you lack oil, if you lack the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you and to show you and to make things easy on you, you're going to work hard. You're not going to make any progress. You're going to be fatigued at the end of the week. You're not going to make any progress. You're going to wonder what the right decisions are because you're not going to know. And you're not going to make any progress because you need that Holy Spirit to guide you. Daniel had that. He had that oil. He had that guidance. He had an excellent spirit. Daniel was about 90 years old at this point in his life. He had favor with God. And y'all know that favor is fickle. I've lost favor with a lot of people in my life. I've been on the list, I've been off the list. I've been on the list, I've been off the list. I've been at the top of the list, I've been at the bottom of the list. And it can happen overnight. You don't even know what you did. Favor is tricky. You know, Brother Ken talked about Joseph this morning. He also had that excellent spirit. Thing about Joseph and Stephen and Daniel, they were all different. They all kind of stood out because they were different. And I'm going to say something very profound right here, okay? Y'all listen close. This is profound. You can't be different if you act like everybody else. That's pretty deep right there. But you can't be different if you act like everybody else. Everybody else doesn't have the oil full. If you get that oil full, you'll act different than other people. So Daniel stood out because his reactions were principled in God's word. Daniel was first. You know, studies show that Daniel was a leader in this situation. And studies show that people want to come to their leader with a problem. They want to know how the leader's going to act when they bring that problem. What do I mean by that? Well, hey, boss, we broke this. What do you mean you broke this? Are y'all idiots? Another reaction might be, oh, no big deal, whatever. Those are two extremes, right? People don't need that. People need steady. Okay, let's get into the facts. What happened? Let's talk it through. What's going on? Daniel was a person that had a core. He had a core belief in God, so he didn't have to go up and down and all around. He could be steady. He could be level. Daniel cared about his people. Daniel, the king recognized that Daniel's had a different kind of fiber, and his fiber was woven of God's word. You can count on God's word. And we're going to find that Daniel cared more for God than he did his position. Daniel cared more for God than he did his position. In verse 4 it says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So these guys here, these princes, are two levels below the king. No doubt that they'd have many gifts bestowed upon them as well. And they wanted to bring down Daniel. Why? Why did they want to bring down Daniel? He was one level higher than them. Jealous. Jealousy is ugly, and it'll make you do things you never believed you could do. It'll make you do things you're ashamed of tomorrow. It'll make people do things to you that you never thought would come out of them. Jealousy is an ugly thing. How do you protect yourself against jealousy? You figure out that what's theirs is theirs. What's yours is yours. Your spot is your spot. Whether it's higher or lower, whatever, get in the spot God wants you in, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. That's the place God can bless us. God can't bless you in their spot, even if it's a higher spot. It's not yours. It's not yours. God can bless you only where he wants you. So, they had to be first. But they found no fault in him, just like we see in Stephen when he got stoned. There was no fault in him. But both Daniel and Stephen drew a great deal of jealousy. So don't find it strange if everyone is not applauding you when you fight out a win. When you finally get there, when you finally fight out a little victory, don't think it's strange when everyone's not clapping with you, because the jealousy is there. We'll have to fight every day to remember that we're not to be jealous. And you'll get that feeling every now and then, and you'll get it quite often, but you can fight that off, and you never act out on it. In verse 5 it says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, and this is very important, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You can't find anything wrong with Daniel. What this tells me is that Daniel was pretty flexible. He was an easygoing man. You could change his mind. You could work it out with him. You couldn't get him riled up over just about anything. But when it came to his God, he didn't move. When it came to God, that's where you would get Daniel riled up. That's where you would get Daniel to fight you, because he wasn't going to go against his God. That tells me that Daniel's God was more important than anything else in his life. He already had the position. He already had the power. He already had the wealth. All he had to do was keep everybody happy to protect that. But he decided that God was more important than all those things. So this, I believe, is why God found favor, or why Daniel found favor in the first place. So whether you liked him or not, you could trust where he stood. So when you went to Daniel, he might tell you and ask him a question, "Hey, Daniel, what should we do?" He might go to Proverbs 2:6 and say, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Daniel would answer you in God's way. But, you know, I probably also meant Daniel didn't have much else. That's probably what he had going for him, was he had his oil, his lamp full of oil, and he had God's word, and he probably didn't know much else to guide anybody with, because he probably wasn't even all that smart without God. He probably didn't even have a whole lot of ability without God. He probably had failed a lot through his life getting to where he was at the top under the king. And he probably realized going through that he was only there by one thing. And it wasn't luck, and it wasn't skill, and it wasn't looks, and it wasn't talent. It was one thing. It was God. So he probably knew if he tried anything else, he would fall. You can trust God. In verse 6 it says, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they said unto him, King Darius, live forever." They buttered him up. "King Darius, we're here for you. You're awesome. You're great. Let's stroke your ego for a minute. Then we want to talk about this guy. Let's talk about this guy, Daniel." You know, people, it said first they gathered. They assembled together. They started grouping together. You know we're in trouble when people start grouping together. And they start murmuring and talking and gathering support. Don't be part of the group. You don't have to participate in that stuff. You know you can make a huge statement just by walking off. You don't even have to say, I disagree. You don't have to say anything. There's one of my leaders, he's of retirement age, and he's mentoring me a little bit, and he told me the other day, he said, "When I was a young man back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we were called into a meeting, and we had a new leader there, and the leader came in and said, 'Hey, guys, I just really hate it, but I've got to go take care of something real quick.' And he left the room. And a little bit later, he came back and he conducted the meeting, and it was all good. Nobody knew anything. He said the next week he was called into the office, and he said, 'Hey, you know that time when I left the beginning of the meeting?' He said, 'Yeah, I remember that.' He said, 'Well, that was just a trick. I had a tape recorder running, and you were the only one in the room that didn't talk bad about me. And you wait a year from now, nobody that was in that room will be here.'" So he said it actually played out that way. So I don't know what he was telling me, but the mentorship is just don't participate in the junk. Don't participate in the junk. You don't have to be part of that group. And I'll tell you, most people will go with the crowd. Most people will go with the crowd, because if you don't go with the crowd, it may cost you everything. I've watched power struggles play out. Very closely, I've watched power struggles play out. And people are watching who's going to win. Who's going to be sitting there when the dust settles? So they play both sides. We'll play this one for a little while, and then we'll play this one for a little while. Hey, it looks like that one's winning, so I'll get close to that one. Well, Well, now it looks like now we got the upper hand over here, so I'll move over here. What do you believe in? What do you believe in? What are you about? What's your core about? Figure out what you believe in and stand on it. Most of us won't do it. Most of us won't do it because it just might cost you everything. And sometimes to stand in what you believe in and have a principled position, you've got to be willing to give every bit of it up. Daniel was. Daniel was willing to give every bit of it up. So, that got a little bit close to home there for a minute. Got me off my notes. I wish I could tell y'all a story, but I can't. But I'll tell you one thing. God honors faithfulness. God honors sacrifice. You do what's right, and you trust God, even if it looks like it's going to cost you everything, and God will honor that. So even Jesus had a hard time keeping his disciples faithful to him, didn't he? He said, I'm going to the garden to pray. Will you just pray for me? He came back, they were asleep. He had one disciple that denied him three times. I mean, just straight up denied him. Sometimes you're going to look around and there's not going to be any support system there for you. Even though you're doing the right thing, sometimes you're going to look around and a lot of those people are just waiting to see if you're going to survive. Then they'll come back and connect with you. It's okay. They can't help it. It's all right. Don't throw them away. They're still okay. They just don't have that. They don't have that core belief, and that's not their fault. They'll be back. Maybe you can teach them something. But sometimes it'll just be you and God. Sometimes it'll be you, your convictions of what's right, what God's told you is right, you and Him. So don't let the weakness of others weaken you on your commitment to do what's right. And doing what's right is always God's way. So in verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. It was all against Daniel, and it was all against God. They made a decree for the whole land just to bring down one man. It's amazing what people would do for jealousy. They were going to impact the whole land to trap one person. Verse 8, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. They buttered him up and they talked him into it. So he did it. And the law dictated that a king's decree could not be revoked, not even by the king himself. So once he signed that law of Medes and Persians, he was locked in for 30 days. So he couldn't do anything to undo it. And he did this out of pride. What he said was, hey, that's a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good idea. Why don't we get everybody to focus on me for 30 days? Let's do that. I kind of like that idea. They really get to know me and really get to appreciate me if they just focus on me for 30 days. And by the end of the 30 days, they'll really know I'm a great king. Any initiative that is set up to focus on you needs to be revisited. Any initiative that is all about me needs to be thought about real hard and real close. Because here we're to learn about how to do things for God and to do things God's way. And there's no me in God. As a matter of fact, if you look through the Bible, God tends to bless the people who don't focus on me. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. He didn't change a thing. He said, this has worked so far. This is the way I do it. This is what's got me here. It wasn't anything else I have. I might as well just keep doing what I'm doing and let things fall where they may. Daniel didn't go with the crowd. Everybody else was focused on the king at the time. Daniel cared more for his commitment to God than his position with men. You will get a chance to trade this someday. You will get a chance to show whether you're more committed to men or you're more committed to God. What are you going to do? Then these men assembled and found... Oh, they assembled again. Evidently, it takes a group. Sometimes it takes a group to create enough bravery, and sometimes it takes a group to get enough brain power together to really take on somebody like Daniel. You know? Well, I don't know what to do. What she would do, I don't know. Let's get together and let's figure this thing out. We'll take Daniel down, not one-on-one, but we'll take him down as a group. So they assembled together and they found Daniel, they found him praying and making supplication before his God, just like he always does. Then they went to the king, and I won't read these verses, but they told on Daniel. They tattled on him. And then the king, in verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But the king, he couldn't overcome the law that was already in place that he had signed. So what I find weird, though, is here we got the king laboring. Now the king's laboring. He got himself in a mess, and now he's having to work himself out of it. He took advice from the wrong people, and he got himself in a mess, and now he's laboring. When he was trusting Daniel, who had an excellent spirit, he was prospering. Everything was easy. I'll just let Daniel handle it. Hey, Daniel's got the right answer. Daniel's got some knack for himself. He's got some way of just making things work out. He's my number two, and that's why he's my number two, because he just handles things. Makes my life easy. But he took the wrong advice. He should have asked Daniel, hey, Daniel, what do you think we should do here? Well, I think you're just being arrogant, king. And sometimes you need people around you that are not yes men or yes women, and they just tell you like it is. And they say, you know what, you're being arrogant, and you need to stop. You need to really think about what you're doing. If the king had taken counsel from the right person, he wouldn't have been in this spot. But now he's laboring. Take advice from the wrong people, and you'll labor. Verse 16, then the king commanded, I bet he had to choke this out, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy king whom thou servest, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords that was purposed might not be changed concerning Daniel. One writer said that Daniel was bound by the law. He was bound by that decree. He was bound by the physical. He was bound by that stone. And he was bound by the signet. Protection that no one could save him. Protection that no one could save him without being executed. So if they'd have broke through that signet, the king would have had to execute because the king was to be respected. Sometimes our situation seems hopeless and it's stacked up against us. Sometimes this is the only place God. God's the only one that can do something for us. In verse 18 it says, then the king went into his palace, and he passed the night fasting, neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So for a man that had commanded his kingdom to spend 30 days celebrating him, he sure is spending a lot of energy that night focused on Daniel. A little bit of a shift, isn't it? Any plan that is centered around focusing on me needs to be revisited. I've given all my life. This is our midlife crisis. Are we old enough in here to have a midlife crisis yet? I've labored all my life, and I've put in for other people, and I've done, and I've given, and I've carried the kids, and I've worked that job, and I've done everything I can do for everybody else. Now it's time for me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right? It's time for me. Yeah. That's the purpose God has for you in life. That's why He's going to let you live another 30 years. So you can serve you.
Yeah.
It's time for you. Just settle into that. Enjoy that. Time for me. Yeah, I lost my place. God has a way of flipping life on you. He just flipped it on the king, didn't he? He can and will put you in your place. And you better thank Him when He does it. Because if He doesn't put you in your place, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. That's a sad voice, by the way. That's a real heart-wrenching, sad voice. And the king spake unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually, not occasionally, but continually, able to deliver thee from the lion's den? You see, when you follow God, and you stand for God, and you represent God, people are looking to see if God is able to do things in your life or not. Why would I sign up for that Christianity thing? If God's not blessing those people who say they are. He's not making their families prosper or their families love one another. God will do that. God will make you an example. He'll bless you so that other people can understand what He's able to do. Then said Daniel, O king, live forever. My God hath sent His angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. So how must Daniel have felt after witnessing this much power of God? I never thought about this until I was going through this again this evening. How must Daniel have felt after spending the night in a lion's den? Have you ever seen a lion? I mean, like, not on TV, but in person, at the zoo, behind the cage. Their heads are like this big. If you're in a whole den of lions, the fear of the power and the potential to get ripped apart must be pretty great. But if God has given you peace in a situation like that, and He has settled a situation like that, and you spend all night in a situation like that, and then you come out to see the light of day the next day, how must Daniel have felt? I bet he felt pretty humble. I bet he felt pretty confirmed that his God was real. I bet he felt like he had a true and a powerful God that had his back no matter what. Now, some of you have spent time in the lion's den. Some of you have spent some time in some pretty scary situations. Some of those situations lasted a whole lot longer than a night. How'd you feel when you got to the end of that and you saw that light and you knew that there was no way to survive? There was nothing you could do, but God took you through that. Think back to that, and it ought to humble you. God is a big God. God is an able God. I can answer King Darius just off of my life. God is able. God can do it. God will do it in your life. You got to put yourself in a position where God can bless you. God can't bless you just anywhere. God can't protect you from just anything. If you're going to go out there and do stupid, you're going to get the results of stupid. You are. God can't bless you from not getting hit from a car if you go running up and down the interstate, zigzagging back and forth. You put yourself in a goofy situation, you're going to get some bad things. Put yourself in the right situation so God can bless you. God has a spot for you. Get in it. And it's not a secret where the spot is. And it may not be an easy spot, but God's preparing you for something. Get in your spot so He can talk to you, so He can provide for you. So one person said that God gave Daniel lion pillows to rest for the night. They do look kind of soft, right? The manes kind of lay up on those lions and get you some rest. God will make your trouble a place of rest. God will make your trouble a place of rest. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. Uh-oh. The ones that gathered and were going with the crowd. Looks like, see, there's something about time. It all seems to come out in the end. Get part of that crowd. Just hang in that crowd to see what they get you sucked into. If you know what you believe in, you got a core, and you trust your God to take care of you even when the crowd's going a different way, you won't be in that crowd when the king starts looking for you, when judgment starts looking for you, when the pain starts looking for you. You won't be in the crowd. You'll be somewhere else. And they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, same lions, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Your family pays for your sins. Everything you do affects other people. Who knows who John Wilkes Booth is? Y'all know him? He shot Abraham Lincoln in the back of the head. He shot him in the back of the head in the theater. He jumped off the state box, landed on the stage, tripped over the banner as he was jumping, broke his leg right there on stage. Broke it real bad. Him and his buddy ran and grabbed the stagecoach. They jetted out into the swamps, and they sat for days and days and days and hid in the swamps. The whole nation was looking. They knew who it was. He did it in a public theater and made himself known. He wanted to be known because he thought he'd be a hero. He sat in the woods quietly for days and days while thousands and thousands and thousands of men looked for him. 87 men drowned in the swamps looking for him. He meant to kill one man. The sin of killing one man brought down 87 more men. What you do affects other people. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescue, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said that, be great believers. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven down to your soul. Put some oil in your life. Put some oil in your life so that it's not so hard. Stop burning up and not making progress. Stop guessing at what to do. With oil, God will show you. God said, acknowledge Him over in Proverbs 3. He said, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. That's not a I may. That's not a I might. That's not an I'd like to. You acknowledge me in the things you're doing, and I'll direct your paths. We can trust Him. We can trust His Word. Thank you for your attention.